beginning, then you'll avoid this lid down there. It doesn't have to be. That's what's wrong with the other account, that Krishna gives you special mercy and then takes it away. It doesn't have to happen like that. If one is very conscientious about avoiding offenses from the very beginning, then you will not experience that drop off the cliff. Often happens right after you get initiated. Why is that? Guess why? You've now taken vows. Yeah?
And about if normally we conceive of nama pas as the clearing stage, what does it mean in this other context of people who chant the holy name without?
Because a clearing stage is not nama pas. That's what's manifest in the clearing stage of a soul who can analyze it. I've just been waiting for a better, more reliable translation before I really got into that part of it. I don't really need to know it, you know. So.
My wife and I were just studying it fairly recently, and it was actually quite confusing. And one question that came up for us was if, you know, chanting the holy name in a mocking way that seems to be offensive. I mean, it seems to be, you know, if you're chanting the holy name sort of in, he gives the example of a person, you know, speaking Persian, say Haram.
Yeah.
And okay, so there's the name, and that's Nama Bas. But when you're, and then he also gives the examples of chanting it in a derisive or mocking way.
Hey, you Hare Krishnas.
But it seems that in that case you're committing the first offense.
Maybe, maybe not. I don't see that it has to be that way, because what do you know? You know, it seems like to commit Vaishnava aparad. I don't know. I'd have to think about it. Not inevitably. Sometimes it might be, especially if you have any inkling of what the Vaishnavas are. But maybe you don't. Maybe you're just an idiot. Maybe you think they're circus clowns or something, you know. Maybe you've been brainwashed by the media. Maybe you don't have any idea. It's not clear to me whether in all circumstances this derisiveness counts as nama aparad or not. Anyway, it's sort of an interesting question, but I don't think it's a vital one. Because at least for all of us, the thing is now we've accepted the holy name and we're trying to cultivate it. And so our circumstances is not really exactly relevant how that happens. So this is the clearing stage. This particular verse represents this Sadhu Sange Anartane Vritti. Yeah? Other questions?
Like the beginning, Neophyte Devotee, he starts chanting and he's supposedly doing, not following strictly the four regulated principles. Then is he still in the Nama Pas? You know, is he still doing Nama Pas? Or would not following the four regulated principles be?
It depends upon the individual devotee. I would say, if he's not taken vows yet, and he's even you can break the principles and not be in nama aparad, because immediately if you break a principle you fall down, immediately regret it, you retake. Actions you avoid it in the future, then that's not also an offense. It's not good for you, but at the same time, it doesn't account as nama. Because it's what Prabhupada calls it's not calculated fall down. It's an accident. Prabhupada calls it an accidental, it's circumstantial fall down. If you make plans to fall down. And really what you're thinking is that, well, yeah, okay, but you know, I'll be all right. I can always chant Hare Krishna. Then you're sinning on the strength of chanting. So if you avoid those things, then because sometimes people are chanting and they give up, you know, everything but cigarettes. And those are harder to give up than no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gas, except for cigarettes. It's even like Malati told me that Shyam Sundar was, you know, they were initiated by Prabhupada already, and Shyam Sundar was carving these Jagannath deities, and he was still smoking cigarettes, and Prabhupada came to see the deities, and sitting right on top of Jagannath was a pack of Pall Malls. Prabhupada didn't say anything at the time, but then later said, you know, you're not supposed to smoke cigarettes. Why not? Well, no intoxication. Cigarettes aren't intoxication, are they? You know, they thought, okay, no more LSD, no more speed, no more no more cocaine. Cigarettes? So it may have not been good for your spiritual, but it wasn't exactly an offense. You just didn't know any better. Or even you know better, but you just have a hard time giving up. And Prabhupada has told people, well, you know, you should just every day. I think what he told Shyam Sundar is every day smoke one cigarette less until you quit. Something like that. Yeah?
What's the secret to maintaining chanting on the quitting stage?
Well, one secret is stay in good association with people who are into that. Good association means you have to be beside. To be on the clearing stage means that you're serious, doesn't it? I mean, you're actually serious about the holy name, and that's really you're a sadhaka. And that means you've really made you're not going to let anything interfere with your spiritual progress. You know, you run your life so that whatever else you do, it's not getting in the way of your spiritual activities. Even if you have to have a job or school or something, still it's done in such a way. And then you're careful to seek out the association of devotees who are similarly interested, similarly committed to spiritual advancement. Because you need some social reinforcement and support in this project. And you should just be very, very careful. And you should be very conscious about your state of your spiritual life. And if you see you're beginning, because you will have ups and downs, and sometimes you don't know why. You know, so you don't know why it happens. It seems, I don't know whether it's astrological or just what it is, but sometimes you can't even tell why that your interest is greater or enthusiasm, or sometimes you chant the holy names and your mind is there and you're the happiest experience in life, and then 2 days later it's difficult and you don't know what happened or why it went away. But that should not affect your behavior. Steadiness means that people, you may be in Maya, you may not be in Maya, nobody can tell, because your behavior is the same, it's fixed. In Krishna consciousness. So you have to practice, and you have to, anything gets in the way of your spiritual advancement, and maybe it's an attachment you have, then you have to pray to Krishna. To me, it seems what we have to be praying for is, what we have to know is, what do I have to do next to make spiritual advancement? And if that, and Krishna will always let us know that. He may not show us very far ahead, but we don't need to know what's really far ahead. We only need to know what I have to do next. And if Krishna is convinced that we'll do what he asks, he'll tell us. So there's some attachment or something that's in the way, some anartha there. As I said, it's not an offense to have a material desire. The offense is to maintain it. Maintain means that I'm chanting for that desire to be satisfied, for example, or I'm praying to Krishna, please destroy all my material desires, but this one. Or not just yet. That's St. Augustine's favorite statement, famous statement, that when I was young and didn't know what I was doing, I prayed to the Lord, Lord, give me continence, that is to say chastity, but not just yet. I want to be a pure devotee, but not for 10 more years. First I want to enjoy. Yeah. Then how quickly will you make advancement? You have to want Krishna consciousness very badly. So you just have to be a little bit alert, and also you should have some guide or counselor who can help you out. You can go to and say, look, I've run into this problem or that problem. It's a question of having, you know, somebody with some little wisdom and experience. What do I do next? What do I watch out for next? And if you convince Krishna that you'll follow, he'll show you everything you need to know. Otherwise, you may not waste his breath. You know, if you were somebody, I can tell you so many things to do, but you're not going to do it anyway. It's just like a spiritual master sometimes. He won't give instructions to a devotee because he knows they're not going to follow. Why should I? You know, I'll deal with the people that will actually follow. Anything else? Let's see if we've covered everything.
I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a technical question. You were talking about Abhasa, the sun's dawning light.
You're talking about what?
Abhasa. About the sun's dawning light.
Yeah.
And how once the light comes out in the forest, everything negative dissipates. So when we talk about coming to Mangalarti through the streets of Philadelphia, it's not quite dawn. We have to go to Miss Mangalarti and go to class to come out when it's really safe. Mm-hmm. But I always thought because we're coming to Mangalarti that we'd still be protected without overtaxing Krishna. Is that an immature way of thinking about it? Locked doors driving anyway?
You should use some common sense in all these things, you know. You don't want to take service from Krishna, so you do everything that's reasonable to lock your car door. Devotee doesn't want to take service from Krishna. I knew some guy in Los Angeles claimed that he would drive to Los Angeles on his bicycle with his eyes closed. And that Krishna was, you know. But why, I mean, why take that service from Krishna? You've got a pair of eyes. The devotee counts on the protection of Krishna, but you know, you do all those things that are reasonable. And sometimes, you know, you walk through shell fire to go to Mangalarti too, and you don't get hit. That's also known to happen.
That's true.
Unfortunately, everything's on my computer, but let me see anything more I have to say about this. It makes noise. It's not grinding noise. It's a fan. Yeah, it needs a new fan. You said you get the fan fixed. You have to mail the thing to California. It's real progress, isn't it? Guy down the street can't fix it.
You don't have a local branch?
There is no local branch. Local branches, they won't deal with laptops. If you have a mainframe, they'll deal with it. Not a laptop. We're so backwards in this country. slow too, isn't it? That's because, you know, it used to be fast, but now you got all this.
Your registry is probably filled up.
It's because, you know, the programs are so complicated now. If you want to more talk about Shudanam and Namabhas, look at the Anchalila Volume 3, 171 to 214. That's the whole discourse of Haridas Thakur on this matter.
What were the numbers?
Anchalila 3, 171 to 214. Oh yeah, let me find this. Few other places. So this, you know, you realize just this, you can come by just by Namabhas, you can come up to the Brahma-Bhuta platform. You know, it brings liberation. That means Brahma-Bhuta. You read the Nectar of Instruction already? Let me just point out to you what's in the preface. Did you read the preface? And the preface is really a commentary on the first text of the Upadeshamrita. Prabhupada says, in all spiritual affairs, one's first duty is to control his mind and senses. Unless one controls his mind and senses, one cannot make any advancement in spiritual life. Everyone within this material world is engrossed in the modes of passion and ignorance. One must promote himself to the platform of goodness, sattva guna, by following the instructions of Rupa Goswami. And then everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. So this is the state, this clearing platform. That means that if you're on the clearing platform, what will be cleared away, among other things, Raja and Tamaguna, lust, greed, envy, anger, all those things. And therefore, if there's some non-devotee who's in the platform of sattva guna, that'll remain just a material state. If a sadhaka is on the sattva guna, then, as he said, everything concerning how to make further progress will be revealed. So one will not be baffled. What do I have to do next? In fact, Krishna is not exactly subtle about it. You'll find out what to do next from all sources. Let me show you another text. In 4.18.5, the translation is, this is the earth speaking to Prithu Maharaj. I think it's the earth speaking, not Prithu speaking to the earth. Yes, earth speaking to Prithu. She says, to benefit all human society, not only in this life but in the next, The great seers and sages have prescribed various methods conducive to the prosperity of the people in general. One who follows these principles instructed, enjoined by the great sages of the past, can utilize these instructions for practical purposes. Now I come to the text I'm talking about. A foolish person who manufactures his own ways and means through mental speculation and does not recognize the authority of the sages who lay down unimpeachable directions is simply unsuccessful again and again in his attempts. And Prabhupada says, at the present moment, it has become fashionable to disobey the unimpeachable. Unimpeachable means you can't find any fault with them. At the present moment, it has become fashionable to disobey the unimpeachable directions given by the acharyas and liberated souls of the past. Presently, people are so fallen that they cannot distinguish between a liberated soul and a conditioned soul. A conditioned soul is hampered by four defects. He's sure to commit mistakes, he's sure to become illusioned, he has a tendency to cheat others, and his senses are imperfect. Consequently, we have to take direction from liberated persons. Now listen to this next sentence. This Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead via persons who are strictly following his instructions. Although a follower may not be a liberated person, if he follows the Supreme Liberated Personality of Godhead, his actions are all naturally liberated from the contamination of the material nature. Lord Chaitanya therefore says, by my order, you may become a spiritual master. One can immediately become a spiritual master by having full faith in the transcendental words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and by following his instructions. So this is what is meant by... Prabhupada has a very interesting sentence. Huh? First of all, he says, this Krishna consciousness movement directly receives instructions from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then he says, via. Which sort of implies indirect, doesn't it? But he's saying, no, it comes through directly. In other words, when Prabhupada uses the word transparent, medium, he's talking about transparency. So what is the condition of being transparent to Krishna? Strictly following his instructions. Then you're transparent. Even if you're not liberated, I take this to mean that you still may have some material desires or things floating around in there, but you do not act on them. They do not control your actions. So in one sense, you're not liberated because there's a possibility of falling down anyway because some material desires are still there. Still, you're strictly following, you're not acting on them. Therefore, but still, you can... Your actions are then naturally liberated from the contamination of material nature. Your actions, your speech also, your speech acts, your physical acts are naturally liberated. So all of these things are things that can happen even on the clearing platform. This is how you know what to do next, because Krishna, you become transparent to Krishna simply by following the process Lord Chaitanya has given. Yeah?
In Nectar Devotion, or Bhakti Swami Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says that one is practically liberated if he engages his body, mind, verbs in devotional service, even individual hope. So it seems that when Prabhupada says, even though he may not be liberated, it seems that because he's doing that, following strictly the orders of Krishna.
Yeah, he's liberated. You see, I think what Prabhupada is doing is saying people don't know how to distinguish a liberated soul from a conditioned soul. How do you extinguish? He says you don't try to read people's minds. You look at their actions. That's what really counts. And if your actions are all liberated, then you can, you know, by my order, you can be spiritual master, he says like that. So if one's on the clearing platform, you should see these. There'll be spiritual progress. You'll know what to do next. You'll have hope for your future. You know, ISKCON will look better. Scripture becomes interesting. Sometimes you can pick up a book and, oh, Prabhupada keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Another time you pick up, wow, look at what he's saying. You know, what's the difference? So if one's on the clearing platform, Shastra is very interesting. It's informative. It tells you what you want to know. It's talking to you like another person, like a big brother or a father giving you really good advice. So there's happiness, there's knowledge, there's realization, there's steadiness. You're happy to be a devotee because you see things are working. And if you slip back into Namapara, well, those things will disappear. They'll go away. They say, oh, this has gone away. What am I doing wrong? When people are on the aparad platform for a long period of time, they go crazy. This is another meaning of pramada, is crazy. It literally means insanity. And people who are really stuck on that platform, they literally deteriorate to the point of becoming crazy. They become paranoid. They see conspiracy theories, you know, the GBC, the JUBC, and, you know, join up with Christian fundamentalists. I've seen it. People actually become crazy.
So what causes someone who has gone past the clearing stage, has done great things in his time, and goes back to that defensive stage?
Well, what do you mean, what happens?
What causes one?
What causes one to do that? What causes one? I mean, you know, somehow or other, one is, has, at least as far as we're concerned, you've not been alert. You start to become an enjoyer of Krishna's property. You start to offend devotees. Maybe you think it's a management principle that Vaishnava aparat only works on those people that are above you, not your equals or those who are below you. For example, you commit offenses, abuse devotees, things like that. I knew that conception was pretty prevalent in ISKCON for some time. So you go back into Namaparad, you leave the movement. It doesn't mean your spiritual life is over, at least maybe for this life it might be. Who knows, but these things can happen. Prabhupada at one point said that those of us who come to the movement were former associates of Lord Chaitanya. I imagine if it took this long to come to the movement, I was probably a pretty offensive associate of Lord Chaitanya. So I probably, I'm one of those people. For some time, you've been associated with the movement, you've committed some offense. Oh, I imagine, like this, for example, when Lord Chaitanya... Well, what happens to these people who are followers of the sons of Advaita Acharya who deviated? Well, I can imagine when Lord Chaitanya would no longer have anything to do with Junior Haridas, and people went to him and said, Chaitanya, you're too heavy, it's a small thing. No, I don't want to see him again, I'll never see him again. And Junior Haridas committed suicide. I imagine that there are those people who really liked him and thought he was a great devotee and finally got angry at Lord Chaitanya. And I can see that happening. What happens to those people? I don't know that I or anybody was one of those people, but you can imagine. Maybe we've had this history. But I think one of the signs of the clearing stage is that one really feels regret. One starts to think, you know, the fact is that you begin to get some appreciation from Krishna, and then you start to just wonder, how is it possible that I ever turned away from Krishna? This is why Prabhupada is always careful to emphasize the fact that we made a decision to turn away from Krishna. You know, this other philosophy was floating around that we were just sort of always turned away from Krishna and there was no decision. Prabhupada doesn't buy that. Because actually one has to regret having turned away from Krishna. That somehow or other I have made a decision not to be Krishna's servant. This is how Bhaktivinoda and Bhaktisiddhanta talk about this. And I should regret that decision. I should be really remorseful and repentant and be begging Krishna all the time to please reinstate me. Ai nanda tanuja kinkaram patitam. I am your servant, but patitam, fallen. Vishame bhavambhuto. In this rough ocean of material existence. There's genuine lamentation for this. Anything else? Okay. Yeah.
I did have one other question about the primary and secondary names. To what degree is that just based objectively on the name itself, and to what degree is it based on a person's relationship with a particular name of the Lord? The reason I ask is because of, you know, Chaitanya or Jagannath, a lot of the Lord's names which may in a specific context have a very personal, one may see those names in a very personal
way. Yeah, it's a proper name rather than a, yeah.
But at the same time, Chaitanya consciousness or Jagannath, the Lord of the world, is.
He says.
Titles as personal.
As personal names. Let me see what he gives examples here.
Govind is a title.
Govind, yeah, but it is a title actually. Govind is a title. What about Mukunda?
Is that listed as one of these?
No, it's not listed here, but which one is it?
Yeah.
It could be either one, couldn't it? Well, Brahma, Super Soul, I guess Brahma here means Brahman, Super Soul, Supreme Controller. Ishwara, Parameshwara, Maintainer, Creator, Mahindra are your secondary names. One doesn't think of Jagannath as a secondary name, do you? Because you think of Lord Jagannath.
I was also thinking the name, there's a story in Chaitanya Charitamrita, I think it was Sarvabhumabhattacharya. When he first heard about Mahaprabhu, he said, oh, I know Lord Chaitanya. Kept on using the word Chaitanya, and the person went back to the Mahaprabhu and told him the story, and Mahaprabhu said, oh yes, see, he can't say Krishna Chaitanya, he can only say Chaitanya.
Chaitanya. Well, in the Panchatattva mantra, it's Sri Krishna Chaitanya. When we say Lord Chaitanya, we mean Krishna Chaitanya, don't we? Kind of like that. It's like when we think of Jagannath, we think Krishna. So it becomes like a personal name. And there may be some overlap. It could very well be like that. Oh, by the way, I want to point out to you, as far as being attentive, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.3.44. You know that one? I've gone through this several times in different places. This shows you, this text, which I shall get up, by the magic of copy and paste, actively. This folio. Which you can see that the process of cultivating Srimad Bhagavatam and cultivating the holy name are the same process, really. You can think of the Bhagavatam as one big holy name. because the name of Krishna whatever Krishna's pastimes or activities, that's the name that's there. Qualities, pastimes, there's a name. Oh, well, that's what Bhagavatam is. So in this text, which is at the last verse of third chapter, Suta Goswami says, when Sukadev recited Bhagavatam in the presence of Emperor Parikshit, I heard him with rapt attention, Nivishta. And thus by his mercy I learned Bhagavatam from that great and powerful sage. Now I shall make you hear the very same thing as I learned it from him and as I have realized it. So Prabhupada begins the purport by saying, one can certainly see directly the presence of Lord Shri Krishna in the pages of Bhagavatam. He has heard it from a self-realized great soul like Shukadeva Goswami. So he's talking about seeing Krishna directly. That's like Shudanam. Krishna's name and Krishna are the same. So Bhagavatam is the same idea. It's none different from Krishna. So that ultimately, if we understand or realize Bhagavatam, as Prabhupada's using the word realized here, we realize Bhagavatam, then you see these pastimes without any mediation of words. Its description and the event itself are identical. So Prabhupada says you have to learn Bhagavatam from the right person, not from a hired reciter, someone associated with sex life. Then Prabhupada says simple hearing is not at all. One must realize the text with proper attention. The word Nivishta means that Suta Goswami drank the juice of Bhagavatam through his ears. That is, very eagerly he heard Bhagavatam. This is the real process of receiving Bhagavatam. One should hear with rapt attention from the real purpose, and then he can at once realize the presence of Lord Krishna in every page. The secret of knowing Bhagavatam is here. No one can give rapt attention who is not pure in mind. No one can be pure in mind who is not pure in action. No one can be pure in action who is not pure in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. In other words, what does it mean? How do we give rapt attention? The mind has to be pure. So therefore, all our actions have to be pure. Even those basic animal activities have to be purified, so that eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, that's also done for simply for the sake of Krishna. Then it is realized knowledge. Realized means experienced. So you can see it's the same process. Just like to chant the holy names, we have to follow the principles of Krishna consciousness. So Bhagavatam is exactly a parallel process. It also needs to be realized. Prabhupada made our society. He's really just trying to create the occasions by which Bhagavatam can actually take place. That is, where there's qualified speakers and qualified hearers, then Bhagavatam happens. Otherwise, it doesn't go off. When people try to study Bhagavatam without following the process, like, for example, an academic scholar, they don't get Bhagavatam. It doesn't happen. What they get is, it reminds me of when Ravana took Sita, he got Maya Sita. When these scholars seize hold of Bhagavatam, they get Maya Bhagavatam. They don't get the real thing. The internal potency is not there. Because Bhagavatam is not simply a material book. When it's done right, it is a vehicle for which Krishna's internal potency, Nija Sarva Shaktis, they come and then something happens. So there's this, you might call it this mysticism of the holy name, or this mysticism of Bhagavatam, by which one comes into contact with the Lord. That's why there's a discipline to cultivating it. And all these things will follow. Anukramishyati, one after another. Okay?
So if we make advancement of the holy name, one indicator could be increased taste for the Bhagavatam.
Yeah. Three things happen. Three things happen. There should be an increase in devotion. There should be paresh anubhava, bhakti paresh anubhava, and vairagya, viraga, detachment. These things, just like when you eat, there's nourishment, satisfaction, and the elimination of hunger. So similarly, three things happen at once. Krishna realization. Your devotion to Krishna increases. Your experience of Krishna takes place, direct experience of the Lord, and you become disinterested in material activities. The more you become bored with the material world, it's just not too exciting anymore. It's also a sign of advancement. And increased attraction to the activities of devotional service, like Bhagavatam, like chanting. Alright? Okay? Until tomorrow. Thank you very much. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.